It's time for Grilling at the Green. Join Jeff Tracy as he explores the golfing lifestyle and tries to keep it in short grass for the hackers, dew sweepers, and turf spankers. Here's Jeff.
Just open up the door and let's take good times in. Tomorrow's gonna be better than today.
Welcome, everybody, to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT, and this is the show where we talk about golf and the interesting and fascinating people who share the same passion for that great game as you and I do. We'd also like to thank our folks that make this possible. Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef from the heart of the Pacific Northwest. And you have trouble with putting. Who doesn't? If you play the game, you're going to have trouble with putting. Well, I had seen this online, and then I took a harder look at it. Did a little study on it, and it's called Birdie Ball. And John Breaker is the man that invented it and runs the company. And he lives in a beautiful part of our country up there in Evergreen, Colorado. And so we're going to let John tell us the story of Birdie Ball and how it helps you, and get his take on the golf industry as well. And also, we'd like to thank the folks down at Langdon Farms for helping make this show possible. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, JT, thank you so much. And it's only as pretty as the Portland area, but we try to hold our own out here. But certainly, I just took a little vacation to the Great Northwest, and I was amazed by how beautiful you guys have it there. But yeah, so grilling on the green, you can do the grilling part. I'll do the green part, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah,
that works.
As long as there's some adult beverages involved, we'll share that responsibility.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
So birdie ball putting greens. If you know anything about birdie ball, you know that we started with a little napkin ring shaped golf ball. Okay, that's kind of the foundation of our business. We have the most remarkable little limited flight practice golf ball. Looks like a napkin ring, flies exactly like a golf ball. But we've been doing that for 15 years, and we're in 7,000 schools. We sold 7 million of those, and I've gotten really good at ball striking. I'm a remarkable ball striker, but I was just craving the ability to practice my putting without a contrived going uphill method. Okay, so anything you can roll out in your office, sort of requires that you create a cup somehow, and so most of the time you have to go uphill, and it just doesn't really lend itself to learning, good habits with your speed. Because it's, the last 10 inches of your putt is going straight uphill. It's like, okay, what, I've gotten to the hole there? What's going on?
Right.
So, any of these, in your office, in your home kind of concepts, if you don't build an expensive platform to put it on, the ball doesn't fall into a hole because you don't usually drill a hole in your floor.
Right.
So, that was kind of the impetus was, I got to figure out a way for the ball to go on a dead flat surface and have it fall into a hole so I can learn my speed. So that's really where it all started. We started looking at aerated polymers, things that had volume, things that you could create a surface on. And so we were lucky enough to discover that we could make a homogeneous grass-like putting surface on top of an aerated polymer. And the result is a remarkable grass-like surface. And, we accomplished that with some chemical etching and basically a technology that looks just like rolling a putting green.
Sure.
And we were able to create that surface on top of a half inch thickness, and voila, the ball falls into the hole. So it's not super hard, but it's remarkable. And we've developed, a way to make it dead flat. We can simulate any speed. We can go 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12.
Sure.
And faster. And the remarkable thing about our technology, and it's all patented, actually I have two patents on it, is that, we have an into the grain and a down grain feature. So if you're putting both ways on your putting green, you're literally going to be able to discern about 1 or 2 feet in speed slower going one way than the other. And that helps you because, as you walk up to a putting green and you look, oh gosh, that's really shiny. I must be going down grain. And the same is true with this putting green. You'll notice that it's shiny going one way and dull going the other.
I noticed that just in the photographs, actually, that, you know, that it could do that. Because I know that, you know, my family, bless their hearts, has bought me those little practice greens that you roll out on your carpet in your office and they help. I mean, they, you know, they'll help you some, because as long as you keep practicing, they're going to help you. But for but for somebody that is, you know, fairly serious, certainly not headed for the senior tour by any stretch, but fairly serious and wants to keep the the ball rolling, so to speak, that's what fascinated me about birdie ball when I was looking at it, because it like you say, the, you know, the polymers and the grass surface that you've created and all that, fairly natural in comparison to a lot of things you get.
It's crazy natural. What people forget is that the modern putting green is really just nubs of grass. I mean, it's not really even a blade of grass. You know, the tour speed putting green is mown to about 0.100, okay, so 100 thousandths in height. So that's less than an eighth of an inch. So it's a nub of grass now. So what really is doing the supporting of the ball and really the ball is rolling on the subbase. So that's why they take that roller out, and they really are flattening the subbase. They aren't flattening the top of the grass. The top of the grass will bounce back up. But they want to control that, and they only want it to bounce back up so far and control a little bit of the speed, but the roll is 100% the subbase. And so if you can perfect the subbase and let the grass, quote-unquote, control the speed, then you have something that replicates a natural putting green. And that's really what's so amazing about it. Is the ball goes exactly where you aim it, okay? And you know, that's what putting's all about, is, you know, get the feedback. You know, instant feedback is what you're looking for. You know, did it stay on the line that I aimed it on? You know, if you're putting on something with wrinkles in it, or has is going up and down, and M's going uphill, and all that, you're really compromising your learning. Mm-hmm. In that regard. Yeah.
Had you had any experience working with, you know, chemical components, makeup of products before you started this?
Yeah. You know, good question. Actually, that's the first time anybody's ever asked me that. And honestly, I think it's the whole reason that we got there. I worked, my first job out of college was working for the guy who invented Teflon.
So, oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. He was the inventor of Teflon, and had created a number of industries, you know, from coating pans to making seals and gaskets to making bearings and all sorts of applications that you never really thought of for Teflon. And Teflon is sort of the king of the polymers. It's got super high temperature capability. It does lots and lots and lots of things. And when you're in that business, you learn about all the other polymers and what they can and can't do. And it's really from that learning that I knew what polymer I could use to expand and create this fibril. So we basically are taking this aerated polymer, and we're taking the crater, and we are pulling part of the crater, just the rim of the crater off, if you will, and that rim of the crater creates the grass. Okay, so the bubble in the aerated foam, if you will, creates the fibril that creates the grass. And, you know, in this homogeneous fabrication is remarkable, because there's no delamination. So, you know, when you roll it out in your office, it's a half inch thick. You walk on it for 7 years, it's a half inch thick. They actually get better and better over time. So that's the other nice thing is, you know, this thickness allows you to roll it up without a wrinkle, allows it to not go uphill, allows us to create this grass-like surface with this fibril that we can orient both into and down grain. And it's totally portable, and it's extremely lightweight, and for the application is really durable. Now, I got to say, you know, you're not going to want to, you know, right now, you don't want to put them outside in the sun. They absorb heat, and so they'll warp in the outdoor environment.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like big dogs, and they don't like women in stiletto heels, okay?
So,
So, if you can keep it indoor, away from stilettos, and if you don't have a great game, you got a pretty good chance of loving this product for a long, long time.
I'm going to be back with John Breaker from Birdie Ball. We're going to find out more about this and find out more about John right after this. Don't go away.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We want to thank our friends down at Langdon Farms Grill. And don't forget, they have a Friday night prime rib special. And they also have Tuesday night barbecue ribs down there. And they've got jazz music on the weekends. So check them out, Langdon Farms, if you're looking for some place to go. If you'd like to email us, it's golf@salempdx.com. golf@salempdx.com. And we also have Facebook, Grilling at the Green. Same with Twitter, all the social media platforms. We are out there somewhere. And I can't keep track of it all, so that's why I hire other people to do that. Anyway, we're talking with John Breaker from Birdie Ball. So, the little napkin ring things, the birdies, the original birdies for Birdie Ball, I guess. How did you develop that, and what made you think of that design?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's not as simple an answer. That one sort of came from, I'm not even sure where that one came from. My dad is an engineer. I'm, like we just discussed, sort of got a polymer background. I'm not an engineer, but I've sold plastic my whole life, so I understand the limitations of materials and plastics. And my dad's just sort of a super smart guy, and God rest his soul. But in 1999, we were watching the Masters, and Tiger was just destroying it. I don't remember how many strokes he was leading by, but they were saying, we're going to have to lengthen the, Augusta National. It's just, we got to try to tiger-proof it. And sort of simultaneously, my dad and I looked at each other and went, see, that's how magical Augusta is. They just snap their fingers and they get more length, and they can push their golf course anywhere they want to go. And, of course, that's not true. We are confined by geographies, and we started thinking about how do we limit the flight of a golf ball. And limit it to the point where it's still super satisfying, but, sort of a game-changing limitation. So we bought, every kind of golf ball there was, and we started drilling holes in them because I was going to have it, the cores analyzed for their chemistry. And, and really discovered most of them have this polybutadiene core. And so that wasn't really a revelation, but we had these golf balls with holes in them. And, We had a bucket of them in the garage, and I was like, well, that idea never went anywhere. I went to throw them away, and there I am with a bucket of beautiful golf balls with about a 5/8 inch hole drilled through each one of them. Well, okay, you've got to go out and hit those out in the backyard for sure. I mean, why would you just throw that in the trash can? And so I had a big backyard, and I threw one down, and I don't really remember how it was oriented, but when I hit it, it like took a right-hand turn. It was like, 20 yards and went dead right.
Sure.
So it's like, okay, well, that's really interesting. I don't know what just happened there. And I threw one down, and the next one went, about 20 yards and went straight left. And I was like, God, I've hit both of those really well. And so, that hole was doing something. What is that hole doing? And, I happened to put the next one down, hole up, and I hit it, and it looked exactly like my golf ball, and I don't really have this one anymore, but nice high, little right to left at the end.
Sure.
I went, oh my God, what just happened there? And that one went straight right. That one went straight left. This one just, was a beautiful ball flight. Oh, but it fell short of my fence, which is 40 yards away. So I just hit that as pure as I can hit a golf ball, and it went 40 yards, but it hung in the air and, had this remarkable hang time. And we literally started scratching our heads, like, what really just happened there? And, obviously my dad and I were trying to brainstorm it. And this is way before, we had, shot tracers and...
Oh, yeah, TrackMan and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, back then, and everybody, you say to somebody, yeah, well, a golf ball has a reverse spinner on a horizontal axis. That's how it flies. Well, 16 years ago, that's not what you thought about. It's like, well, how's it spinning?
Right.
And everybody had this theory. Well, it has left or right spin. Well, no, a golf ball has reverse spin around the horizontal axis, and that's what we measure now with flight scope and ball tracer, all these things. And when we see it go left to right, the axis tilts left to right. We see it go right to left, the axis is still right to left. And it's still got a horizontal axis. It's still basically spinning backwards over the ground. So we discovered that, okay? And then we started thinking about, you know, what the shape could be to really enhance the stopping and enhance the going simultaneously. And so that's the design. The design is a straight-walled golf ball to make it stop with a huge airfoil middle, which is the, you know, which is the middle. And the middle is the lift, and the walls are the stop, and you have a combination of stop and go, you know, spinning at 10,000 RPM, and it sounds like a little jet engine flying. And the end result is that, you know, it falls out of the sky gently at about 50 yards, and it has your exact ball flight. So you can do, you know, every part of your practice in the backyard. And we've got, you know, hitting mats and strike pads and targets and, you know, every derivative. We're, like I say, we're in 7,000 schools. We're really the de facto teaching method in public schools. And we sold 7 million of them. So we are, and candidly, we're getting ready to do a little boutique-y Topgolf. Okay, so we have a concept where, you know, we throw 18 bays on an acre, okay, literally on an acre. And you know, the food and revenue,
sure.
The food revenue from that model is, you know, can be as millions and millions of dollars. So you glue one of those onto a Buffalo Wild Wings, and you got Topgolf. Only miniaturized.
Oh my God, that's
so. We actually have that concept coming to market. We actually have handheld scoring. We have an iPad touch system, so everything's line of sight. So you just touch the pad where the ball goes, and it does the scoring automatically for you. We don't need an RFID chip in it. But yeah, so far the response to that has been crazy, crazy good. And in fact, we're if you will, going to market on that concept.
How soon? Like now or
very soon? Yeah, like the book is hitting the street this week. Actually, yeah.
Wow. Did I tell you I also do a nationally syndicated barbecue show?
No, but I'll tell you, barbecue, beer, and birdie ball—that 3B combination—it will change the universe. And I just want to be here long enough to see what it looks like in about 40 years, because I'm telling you, it looks like that.
Yep.
Instead of us walking around chasing the little white ball, and we'll still do that. Okay, we still do that. But we all know that golf is sort of in distress, and we know that this top golf phenomenon has happened, and we know that the millennials do that instead of go spend 4 hours. And people used to say, well, it's the cost. Well, it isn't the cost. Go to Topgolf. Go to Topgolf for 3 hours and tell me that I don't play golf because it costs too much. Okay, that's clearly not the issue.
Right.
The issue is that, you know, they have no failure at Topgolf, okay? And we just have this, you know, fear of failure in this generation. And they don't want to embarrass themselves, and they want to, you know, they want to be good right away. And let's just say they top it at Topgolf. They can turn around, do a selfie, and, you know, have a beer, and everybody's forgotten about it.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of reasons that works.
We're going to take a break here on Grilling at the Green. We're going to be back with John Breaker from, what is it? Birdie Ball, of course. And we'll be back talking with John in just a couple minutes. Don't go away.
Almost heaven.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033. At Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Well, life on the farm is kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy like me can't hack. It's early to rise, early in the sack. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Hey, welcome back to Grilling It's Green. I'm JT, and today we've got John Breaker from Birdie Ball with us. Before we get back to talking with John, I want to thank Painted Hills Natural Beef. It's beef just like your grandpa used to raise, and if your grandpa didn't raise beef, he should have, and it would have tasted like this stuff. And Ben Hogan Golf, tour quality clubs at factory direct prices. Try Ben Hogan Golf. You can hear us here on the radio in Portland and on streaming on the web and at SoundCloud, a lot of platforms, also on Golf News Network, or it's, as you call it, golfnewsnet.com, like that. And finally, emails golf@salempdx.com. Okay, I got through all that stuff. We're talking with John Breaker from Birdie Ball. This phenomenon, and I can kind of say it's a phenomenon because, you know, you're kind of in the middle, if you don't mind me saying so. You can deal with the changes of the industry, and yet you can you can please guys that are not quite geezer status, but are in my age group, you know, and because I'm a boomer. I'm assuming you're probably a boomer.
Yep, I'm a boomer. Oh,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a pretty good business model, John.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. And it, we, you know, but I can tell you that, that it goes against everything you learn in marketing, which is, you know, pick a category and stay in that category. You don't try to drive out of that category.
I mean, right.
If you are a practice golf ball, you know, can you be a top golf equivalent, or can you – you know, can you create mini golf courses that are, you know, that are not, you know, golf practice per se, but a game, you know, and are you focused more on growing the game with kids, or are you really trying to grow the game with low handicappers who you know, hit a birdie ball, you know, low handicapper hits a birdie ball, you know, better than anybody, you know, and enjoys and gets more out of it than anybody. So what are you? Are you for kids? Are you for the low handicapper? Are you trying to be a game? Are you a practice device? But it's a unique part of, I think, revolutionary game-changing products. And, you know, you hold one of these things in your hand and, you, and well, hand one to somebody out of the framework of golf. You know, walk into an office building with one in your pocket that's not logoed, hand it to somebody and ask them what it is. And they will, it will take, it will, it's days. It's like Rumpelstiltskin. I mean, it's whatever comes up with, oh, that's a golf ball. Okay. They just can't get there. And in fact, that's how we got our patent initially, was the, you know, the patent examiner kept saying, that's obvious, it's obvious, it's obvious. Well, then my patent attorney went in, put it on his desk and said, I'm going to, you know, set that up like you would hit that with a golf club. And the patent examiner laid it on its side, just like everybody always lays it on its side. Well, because that's the radius part of it.
Right.
And my attorney said, no, stand it on the whole end, okay, upright, and, you know, like a cup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the patent examiner went, oh, you got to be kidding me. That works. And yeah, that not only works, you're never gonna get that out of your head ever again. And that's what happens with us. If you've ever hit a birdie ball, and this is a statistic that I'll put up against any other product ever, and that I'll throw that there right now. In 7 million, we've had one dozen returns. One dozen returns in 7 million. And it's because people can't believe it. They hit it, and you can just count on your watch. 1, 2, 3. They turn around and go, you gotta be kidding me, or wow, or something that you just, you know, they just, it exceeds their expectations to such a degree that, you know, it is mind-boggling. And you know, we still don't know why everybody in the world doesn't know what a birdie ball is. I mean, it's sort of shocking, but that's our fault. It's our fault. You know, it takes a little bit of resources to, you know, to get something out there to the tipping point where everybody in the world knows what it is.
Well, but maybe this show will help you a little more, too. You never know.
Absolutely. It all helps. It all helps, which is why I was eager to respond. And you know, not only because I think you guys have a great show, but because I love that part of the country. And you do have some golf going on this weekend. And, you know, just how we can help you and vice versa.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, just,
so, we, John, we got a couple minutes before we have to do one of our special segments in the show, but I wanted to ask you, have you gotten any grief? And I try to keep this show on a positive note all the time, but have you gotten any grief from other people that make less... I'm trying to think of the word, less reliable, like practice mats and things like that. I mean, have they given you trouble?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's one of these things where, you know, we kind of came from nowhere, you know, and you know, however, we have a philosophy, which is we don't ever say anything bad about anybody. I mean, we just don't.
Right.
You know, there's enough, it's hard enough to, you know, to float your own boat rather than trying to sink others. And so we never have said our competitors' names. You know, we never say how they don't work. We don't talk about brand. We talk about methodology. We talk about woven synthetic turf, and we talk about felt and going uphill and carpet and, you know, and all those kind of things. And we talk about wiffle balls and foam balls and, all these things, but we are so different. I mean, and my daughter even said the other day, I did say, you know, we ought to just knock that off, is what I said on a product. And she said, Dad, that's not how we roll. That's not how we roll. And I went, you know what? That isn't how we roll. That's not how we roll.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it isn't innovative, if it isn't game changing, and, you know, and I, you know, I tell my kids, it's really easy. You just find the low cost product in a super high demand industry and, you know, be the best at it. And, the world will be the path to your door.
Well, it seems to be working for you. I actually follow you on Twitter, and once in a while, when you'll show up with a picture of some elk or something, and you drive into work in the morning, and I'm always like very jealous of that, because I'm like, man, that, look at that.
Yeah, it's been we're so blessed. I mean, we're a 15-year-old business now, and we kind of got launched by having the best new product at the PGA Merchandise Show in 2004. And, you know, that does matter for all those inventors out there, and we all have a golf idea. So, you know, be inspired. Go find, you know, but break the mold. Don't just copy something else. Just get a clean sheet of paper and do something brand new. But if you do that, you know, the industry does reward you. And, we were lucky enough to get that. And the internet was coming along about the same time. And then Good Morning America did a feature on us. And then we were at Business Week. And then we were at Newsweek. And then it was Wall Street Journal. And, you know, and so we've had a lot of blessings, and it has led to this ability for us to have our corporate headquarters in this beautiful place in Evergreen.
There you go. Speaking of beautiful places, our friends over at Langdon Farms, our next little drop in here for the show is my buddy Bruce Furman, who's my coach when I actually managed to get up there and see him. And here's Bruce's tip of the week for you.
Hi, this is Bruce Furman. I'm the director of instruction out at Langdon Farms. I'm going to give you a little tip about how to select a proper wedge for your game. Sand wedges have different lofts and bounces, and selecting the right wedge with the right bounce and loft is critical. And what is the bounce? Well, that's actually the angle of the bottom of the club or the sole measured from the leading edge to the trailing back edge of the sole. Kind of like a ski, the front end of a ski curves up so that it would slide through the snow or water. You don't want a straight flat ski or a ski that curls down. It wouldn't glide through anything. So that's basically the same idea that the bounce is on a sand wedge. Also, the back sole has what's called camber, and that's the amount of curvature from the leading edge to the trailing edge. The width of the sole makes a difference. When you have a wider sole on the bottom, that effectively adds to the bounce. And then there's what's called the sole grind, and that's the mount that is taken off the trailing edge of the heel and the toe to help the club go through the ground or the grass better. So you need to have what's called the correct angle of attack. Some people could come into the ball too steep where they're digging a real deep divot. So then if you're that type of golfer, you need more bounce, so it'll glide through the turf better. If you come in, you're more of a, say, a drawer of the ball or a hooker of the ball, you're coming in more level to the ground, you don't make much of a divot, and you tend to hit a draw, then you don't need as much bounce. And that'll work way better for you. So you want to get the bounce fit to how you play. And if you do that, then that wedge will work a lot better for you, and you'll get better results.
Thank you, Bruce. We appreciate that. Folks, you can find out more about Bruce and what he teaches and how he teaches and all that if you go to the Langdon Farms website, click on instruction, and right there's a picture of him. And you can go to one of his weekly clinics, too. He has these little short mini clinics on Wednesday nights, and they're a big help because I've actually gone to a couple of them. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and wrap the show with John Breaker from Birdie Ball right after this. Don't go away.
Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. That's 503-982-2033. Barclays, buysellpawn.com.
Hey, welcome back to Grilling at the Green. I'm JT. We've got John Breaker with us here from Birdie Ball. We're going to have some special guests the next couple weeks. Not that John isn't a special guest, but we're going to have some other special guests coming up. And so I'll be telling you about those next week, actually. And don't forget to get out there tomorrow and watch the final round at the Winco out at Pumpkin Ridge. That might be some fun for you. And now let's get back and talk with John here. Did you ever think that Birdie Ball would go this far?
You know, honestly, I thought it would go further.
Really?
You know, I did. I mean, it's when you see one of these things fly, you're like, that is a breakthrough. And that breakthrough is going to be on the planet for the rest of our days. And it is. And so I take some responsibility for not putting enough gasoline in the motor to get us further down the runway. But we're doing that now. We took our eye off the birdie ball practice ball about 10 years ago when we started focusing on the putting greens. And the putting greens, you know, people search for that, okay? People want putting greens. Nobody searches for, you know, limited flight napkin ring-shaped golf ball, okay? It just doesn't happen. So, you know, so we, you know, you got to create your own, you know, your own market there and your own interest. And so we, you know, we went hog wild in putting greens. And I'm going to say, you know, we're the world's largest indoor putting green company now. And, you know, I have reason to believe that. I guess I disbelieve that. Not sure I can prove that 100%, but now we're refocused back on birdie ball. And like I say, we're going to be having birdie ball places, not sure what they're going to be called, but where you'll be able to go get an adult beverage, some chicken wings, and rent a little bay at about 50% of the going rate, and bring your family and have Golfzilla and Golfrilla and animals to shoot at. And then when the sun goes down, we light it up with LED lights and get the rock and roll going, and bring your girlfriend and let's go.
There you go.
So that's all coming.
Will you be only shooting birdie balls there, or could you shoot regular balls too on your?
It's going to be only birdie balls, and that's really one of the really cool things about it.
Uh-huh.
We don't need any fencing. We aren't going to have so. You know, there's pushback in these neighborhoods where these big, giant driving ranges that are lit up are going in, and they've had to move a few of them because people have complained, you know, just as they're breaking ground. And, you know, you take 30 acres and you light it up and you put a huge fence around it, and it becomes, you know, I mean, some people, I don't mind that personally, but, okay, a lot of people don't like that. And so we don't need a fence. There's no fence. We don't need a fence. Just, you know, park right there. And if that's a Bentley, we might have you back it up, you know, 10 or 15 feet, but we know pretty well where these things are going. And, you know, and we can, you know, we have a full automatic return, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Is it all going to be your like this surface going to be like your putting green surface or synthetic grasses?
Right. We'll do synthetic grass. And in fact, we're coming out with an outdoor putting green by the market's kind of demanding it, that we have an outdoor putting green. We're going to use a lot of our existing technology, but we will have to go to, you know, to the woven synthetic turfs and to make it work. So you're going to compromise some roll, and you're going to compromise, you know, some of what I've talked about, but you get to leave it outside in the sun and drive your tractor over it. Okay. So that's the good part. And stiletto heels and giant, you know,
dogs,
great things,
yeah.
And all that. But yeah, that'll be it'll be a turf, you know, field. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's pretty sharp, John. I mean, that's pretty sharp. I've had other people from other putting green companies, and it's, last year we had a couple of mine and we talked about it, you know, and that was all well and good. And they're, you know, they're very nice products and they're all good. And they stay outside and they do all that good stuff, but nothing hooked you, if you will. I mean, kind of from one marketing guy to another, nothing hooked you, but now you've got the birdie ball and that's the hook. So to me,
it is the hook, and you know, and you can't beat the price. I mean, seriously, it's the best rolling putting green on the market, and a 4x10 starts at $150. Okay?
Right.
So, you know, $150, not $850, which is, you know, what you get when you start doing synthetic woven synthetic green.
Right.
So, for $150, you know, you roll it out, you can roll it back. You're golden.
There you go. Hey, John, you're going to stick around, I think, for After Hours, which is doesn't go on the radio, but it goes on the web version of that. So,
Okay, sure.
But I want to thank you for being on the radio portion of the show, John Breaker from Birdie Ball. Go ahead and give them your web address and stuff if people are interested.
You bet. Simple stuff, birdieball.com, BIRDIEBALL.com.
There you go.
And I'm John at birdieball.com if you want to reach out to me. And I am John at Birdieball USA.
And he will return your email. I know that for a fact.
Oh, yeah.
He will do that.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go. We're going to get out of here for the week. Listen to us now on the SoundCloud, and you can listen to the After Hours. Until then, have a great week, everybody. I'm JT. Get out there and play some golf.
Grilling at the Green is produced by JTSD Productions, LLC, in association with Salem Media Group. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.